Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The podcast series talking to people at the forefront of change. But you should never underestimate the power of a conversation to alter the way we think, to influence the information we go on to seek, and the conversations we go on to have. This is all part of the change process. Today's guest is Roxy Nafusi. Roxy is certainly the wellness woman of the moment, and I don't think she's going anywhere. Her debut book, Manifest, has sat at the top of the bestseller list here in Ireland and the UK for over 17 weeks. It's on sale now in the US and Australia, and in the top 10 on Amazon.com, and it's been translated into 18 different languages. Roxy has been building a community as a personal development coach through her workshops and her Instagram, and her main teaching is around self-love and helping people to believe that they are worthy of manifesting the life of their dreams. Now, I think we've all gotten a little bit lost with what a life of dreams looks like. The capitalist model means so many of us start striving to have loads of money and a big house and lots of cars, but deep down, I think we all know that all the material stuff doesn't really equate to happiness. That comes from the inside. And for a variety of reasons, such as our past experience or things in our present, it might need a bit of work. The life of dreams is one where you feel content with where you are. Roxy speaks from personal experience here. She talks in the podcast of her rock bottom, her addiction to cocaine, and her self-worth being on the floor. But when she heard a radio interview with someone talking about manifesting and starting with self-love, she made small steps to build up her own and literally look at her now. I love Roxy's message. I love her style, her aesthetic across her products, her Instagram, her interiors is just divine. And I was so excited when she agreed to talk to me for this podcast. It was a manifesting moment for me. So I hope you enjoy. I do ask Roxy about the dangerous message of living your best life and this inference that if you don't have everything you've ever wanted, you're doing life wrong. But I think you'll hear it's not about striving and beating yourself up for what you don't have. It's about meeting yourself where you are, self-compassion and self-worth, and making new neural pathways and seeing where that leads. So Roxy Nafusi, you are very welcome to Changemakers.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've just come back down to earth somewhat, Roxy, after writing your second book. It was a big deal.
Yeah, it was. Well, I had 8 weeks again to write it, which is just absurd. But you know, I was still working quite a lot, so I probably got a month of like solid writing to do it. And I think that was probably, it's like in some ways it's easier than the first time because you know what you're doing, you trust your voice. It's like it's easier in that aspect, but then it's also more pressure because you're like, fuck, this was the expectation set pretty high now after the first one.
Because the first book, Manifest, has just been so incredibly popular. It's been in the top 10 here in Ireland for months at this point, the same in the UK, and it's being translated into various languages and sold over in the USA.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's actually been number one in Ireland for like 17 or more than 17 weeks this year. It's insane. I love my Irish community.
Yeah. And I mean, when you were talking about the struggle of writing the book online, I just think that's something that's really positive about you. Obviously, so much of what you put out there is beautiful and life is really happening for you right now and you're living a lot of your dreams, but you're also very conscious of saying,
I'm struggling with this, or I went to an event and I had social anxiety, or, you know, without too much detail, you've said, look, things didn't work out with the father of my gorgeous boy, but we're making it work.
Yeah.
You don't put out that life has to be perfect all of the time.
No, absolutely. I think it's really important, because I think that's where, you know, things can become a bit toxic. And I think that manifesting isn't about, you know, you learn to manifest and then life is just perfect all the time and everything's plain sailing. It's like, it's still life. Like, this is still real life. And in real life, there are things that go wrong. There are unfortunate circumstances. You're going to be faced with rejection. And more than that, you're going to be faced with your own inner demons that will keep popping up. And I think that, you know, manifesting really is all about self-development. It's about healing and inner healing. And that is like an onion that you're constantly peeling back layers and layers of, because we've got decades of, you know, limiting beliefs, insecurities, or, you know, fears and doubts that we're trying to overcome and change. And that's not something that happens overnight, but it does get easier and easier and easier.
And let's talk a little bit about your story then, and your rock bottom moment that led you to hear of this manifesting.
Well, you know, I think when I look back at kind of my whole life until I had discovered manifesting, it really was always shadowed with unhappiness. I didn't have like a happy childhood. I didn't feel emotionally safe. I already rejected who I was at the age of 12. That's why I changed my name from Rowan to Roxy, so that I wouldn't stand out so much and so that I didn't feel so different. And then that kind of feeling of unworthiness carried me through my teens, and then into my 20s when I turned to drugs, because what a way to escape. And so cocaine, cigarettes, and alcohol became my best friend, really, and worst enemy. And that kind of journey was really long. You know, I think I went to my first NA meeting when I was 21, and again at 28. So this kind of knowing I was kind of in this place of addiction, but not being able to get a grip on it was quite a long process. And it was when I was 27 that I had really thought, like, I have to change. Like, I have no money. Like, I'm not making any money. I have no job, no career prospects, no relationship, no self-worth, nothing. Like, something has to change. So I went on a yoga teacher training course, and I thought yoga was something I had done since I was 21. So it kind of was my safe place. And I thought, you know, if I can channel myself into yoga, you know, I'll be cured. I'll be cured of my addiction and my sadness. But when I got back from this yoga teacher training course, within 24 hours, I was back on a 2-day bender, basically. And that's when I was like, fuck. Like, I actually don't know what's going to help. And that's where I discovered manifesting.
And, you know, I think it's really interesting about your story. We don't often talk about this level of drug use or drugs being a problem. People have this stereotype in their mind of a particular person, a particular drug. And that's the one we think of as the problem. We don't often hear about cocaine and taking it socially and on the weekends, and what a problem that can be and how that can impact on people's lives in such a negative way.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting one. And, you know, that's why I think why often people stay in the cycle for so long, because it's so easy to look at it. Because it's such a social drug and so many people do it without talking about it. But it's so many people do it that there's always someone worse than you. And so people will always go, oh, I'm not that bad. I'm not as bad as so-and-so. I'm not taking as much as so-and-so. Or you assume that an addict has to be someone that does it 7 days a week, or that they're taking harder drugs, or that they're doing it on their own, or that you're waking up. You know, the you know, most common is, oh, but you don't wake up and have a drink. You're not an addict. And it's just ridiculous. And I think it's it's a really, again, it's a toxic perception that keeps us trapped in addiction. But, you know, addiction is any time you have lost control over your ability to, like, stop yourself using it, when it's negatively impacting your life in any way, financially, socially, mentally, emotionally. And when you, you know, I think when once you start telling yourself over and over again, I'm not going to do it tonight, I'm not going to do it, and you do it, you really realize that it has control over you. You are addicted.
And your rock bottom moment was after that bender, as you say. Mm. You'd had very little sleep. You felt very low. There were lots of other things that were happening in your life that you weren't functioning as you wanted to. And where did manifesting come in? Was it a podcast or a radio interview somebody suggested you listen to?
No, I listened to this podcast. It was on an American podcast show called Love Alexi. And it was the first time I'd really heard about manifesting. Like, I'd heard about the law of attraction, but not really so much about manifesting. So I listened to this podcast, and really what I took from it was that manifesting was about self-worth, and that if you didn't believe you were worthy of something, you couldn't manifest. And I was like, oh, I have no self-worth. Of course I'm not manifesting. And then that's when I kind of went home and just sort of researching manifestation and practices and what it was, and then just immerse myself actually into self-development more than I'd immerse myself into manifesting, because really manifesting is the umbrella and self-development sits under it.
And your book is so beautiful. You have 7 steps. Once you open its orange beautifulness, it's very hard to put it down.
And oh, thank you.
As you say, it's rooted in personal development, because I think, you know, the law of attraction and all of these sort of things have started to get a bit of criticism over time, as if you've to stand in your garden and say, no weeds, no weeds, and all of a sudden flowers will be all around you. Whereas it goes deeper than that, as you say. So what was the impact on your life when you started to really look at the root of things and really look at your own self-worth?
I mean, it's hard to even put into words, because I mean, the impact it's had on my life is just tremendous. Like, it's changed my life in every way imaginable. And that's because, like you say, manifesting isn't just about thinking about something or visualizing it or saying it and then waiting for it to happen. The greatest gift of manifesting is that it empowers you to become so empowered, so limitless, so full of self-belief, that you can make what seems impossible possible. You literally become the person who can create a different reality for yourself. And at the core of it is self-love and self-worth. And then it's about taking action, being proactive, stepping outside your comfort zone, embracing gratitude, making the best of the life you already have. And from a, you know, different side of it, it's also about understanding that everything is energy, and that there are different vibrations, vibrational frequencies, high vibrational frequencies and low vibrational frequencies. And quantum physics tells us that like attracts like, and that we can manipulate our energy to be a high vibration, to operate a high vibrational frequency, so that we attract more abundance into our lives. So there's really 2 parts of it for me. But I just think it's the most incredible practice that I think can benefit absolutely anyone.
And as a health and wellness presenter, quite a lot I'm talking about, you know, self-compassion, affirmations in the morning. And, you know, not everybody is going to be on board, but you do get a sense of eye rolling about self-love and, oh God, you know, I'm not going to do this. This is American or something that's, you know, a picture on Pinterest. But I think what people don't realize is that they're actually doing it in the reverse, that a lot of the time they're saying negative stuff in their head to themselves all of the time that is having a negative impact. So why not flip it and say something positive to yourself and see what happens?
Exactly. That's the thing, is it's like, why not? Why not, like, make an effort to feel better? But I think for a lot of people, they really don't think it's even possible. I think it's a case of feeling so stuck that you just think, there's no way I can repeat a few mantras and then suddenly I'm going to love myself, like as if. It seems so unbelievable and so far-fetched, or that it would take such a long time that people don't even bother starting or trying. And so, you know, people have to come to it, I think, in their own time. And I think that for the rest of us who really are on board with it, we just have to lead by example.
And I've really noticed the message of positive psychology and self-development has changed. I think previously it was very much focused on making money and doing well in business, whereas now it's about being content in life. So it can be anything from raising a beautiful family to feeling good in yourself, or you can apply it to your work. You don't necessarily have to be accumulating an MTV crib.
Exactly. You know, I think the that's just right. And I think that's why perhaps a book like The Secret feels a little bit outdated, because it's quite focused on accumulating things. And the things are nice. Like, don't get me wrong, if you want to manifest abundance, you can do that. And it's a nice cherry on top. But really, it is about manifesting a life that brings us fulfillment, joy, contentment, and a life that we can't wait to get up in the morning to live. You know, we can't wait for it. And I think that's its greatest gift, is enabling us to become the people we want to be, and just feel good, feel excited. And we know the things that make us feel good and excited and content and fulfilled and happy are not the cars or the houses. At the end of the day, you can have all those things and still be unhappy. We all know that now, I think.
Well, obviously, we're not going to go through the seven steps. We don't have time. And if people haven't read the book, they, you know, I'd encourage them to give it a go. But there were two I picked that we might touch on a little. And one is removing self-doubt. I think it comes back into what you were saying about believing you're worthy of whatever it is that you want. But quite often we have that negative bias in our minds that I won't be able to do that, and I can't do that, and I'm not good enough. And that's one of the main reels that plays in people's heads. How do you set about really removing self-doubt?
Yeah, so, you know, this is inner healing, and this is the inner work required for manifestation, because obviously we accumulate these insecurities, fears and doubts, you know, from our very, very early years right up until today. And we're always providing evidence to support those beliefs that we form really early on about what we're worthy of, what we deserve, and how we feel about ourselves. But we have something called neuroplasticity, which means that we are able to change our belief systems. We are able to change our thought patterns, to change the way that our brain operates, and change those, make new neural pathways. And so firstly, just knowing that, like, you can change your belief system and therefore change what you manifest. And the way you do that is by committing to consistent and repeated thought and action. And that's why things like mantras are so powerful, because when you keep repeating, your subconscious basically never knows when you're lying or telling the truth. So whatever you tell it, it believes to be true. So if you keep saying to yourself, you know, I'm worthless, I'm no good, I'm never going to get anywhere, I'm just unlucky, the subconscious is just going, okay, that's true. Let's find evidence to really support that. Let's create a reality around you that supports that belief. If you start used to repeating a mantra such as, I am enough, I love who I am, I'm worthy, even if you don't believe it, but you're saying it, your subconscious goes, okay, that's what we're going to, and you repeat it enough, your subconscious begins to form that as its new belief. And then it finds evidence to support that, and it changes the reality that you then experience. And, you know, when I was writing this chapter, it was a really difficult one. And I came back to it again and again, because things like repeating mantras, reframing your perspective, becoming aware of your thoughts, being mindful of the language you use, even like I love that one of, you know, when someone gives you a compliment, instead of, what we usually do is bat it away. So if someone says, oh, you look so nice today, and you say, oh, no, I don't. I look exhausted. I'm tired. I've had an awful night's sleep, whatever. It's actually just going, thank you. So making these like really tiny little switches so that we can send more positive messages to our subconscious and change our belief system are definitely a part of it. But the healing required to really remove fear and doubt goes much deeper than that. And I think for me, that a lot of that comes to understanding where the wounds are. It comes down to looking at how we can heal our inner child, and inner child work and reparenting is a really great practice for that. Any kind of therapy, counseling, journaling, and actually committing time to do that. Just as, you know, we commit time to working on our bodies, exercising, going to the gym, why not commit that time to healing where we first formed those limiting beliefs?
And your podcast is The Moments That Made Me. Mm. Do you think, I know obviously you've picked three to fit in with the time, but do you think most people have a small number of defining moments that have led them to where they are?
Good question. I think there are, like, if you ever listen, the reason I started the podcast is, I've got two answers. The reason I started the podcast is because when I would hear people's life stories that I'd speak to, let's say you'd be sat at a dinner party with someone and you'd hear their story, or someone be telling you a story about someone else and they were describing their lives. There was always usually three or four moments, right? Which were like, then this happened and then their whole lives changed direction. But I also believe that who we are today is made up of every single moment we've experienced. Like, there are infinite moments that lead us to where we are today. So I think there are a few really key ones that maybe shift our direction or change our mindset or really contribute to the big picture. But really, we are a culmination of every single moment we've ever experienced.
And even when you started to tell your story, I mean, you went way back to childhood and other moments, and then it got to, you know, drugs. There's a timeline. There's a timeline that leads you. But as you say, you can always learn from that and then change direction. Yeah. The other step that really blew me away, I'm not even sure. No, it is an actual step. I didn't know there was a little subsection, but it is an actual step, and it's turning envy to inspiration. Mm. And I think that's such an important one right now in the age of comparison, because of social media. Mm. Every day we're bombarding ourselves with other people that seem to be doing life better than we are. And I think it was just a really good one to hit on, to take that feeling you get when you look and go, oh my God, they've got it all figured out. Not only to step back and go, nobody has it all figured out, but also to say, what's that teaching me? Don't just stay in jealousy, take a step on.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that envy is, you know, we do feel, you know, we often like kind of reject any feelings of envy. We deny them because, you know, we feel ashamed of them. But actually, envy is really normal. Like, we all experience it, if, you know, more than we admit, I think. But envy can absolutely teach us what needs healing. So if somebody very confident walks in a room and your first instinct is to say, oh, she's so arrogant, or he's so cocky, actually, could you say, actually, I'm quite inspired by that confidence, and I actually would love to be able to walk in a room and with my head held high and feel confident in myself. So maybe that still needs, I still need to heal some things within me so I can get to that place. And so I think that envy, we can really firstly use it to show us what needs healing, but also to show us what we want more of in our lives. So if we see someone, you know, on holiday, and every time we're on, you know, they post a picture, we feel like, ugh. It's like, actually, why don't we use that to inspire us? God, what a great place. I can't wait to go there for myself. Let me add that to my vision board. And so I think we always, you know, I mentioned about vibrations earlier, and envy is very low vibe. It's got, you know, it comes from this place of scarcity, that there's not enough for everybody. Whereas inspiration is very high vibe, and it comes from a place of abundance. You know, there's more than enough for us all. And so whatever we can throughout the day, if we can keep turning that envy into inspiration, it just really empowers us day to day. And I think it's really, like you say, it's very relevant for, you know, this society we're in now.
So what has been your business build then? Obviously, you did a lot of personal development yourself and you sort of came up with the seven steps. So how did it build? Were you doing workshops first and stuff online that led to the book, or how did it all start to come together?
Yeah, I started doing My first workshop was in 2019 before the pandemic, and it was self-love. And I'd built a community by doing Agni Aunt Sundays, just giving people advice a lot on my Instagram, just by being very open. I didn't at that point know that I was really going to turn it into a career. But then I was like, I was always really inspired by watching people like Brené Brown and Tony Robbins. And I was like, I want to do that. I want to be on stage inspiring people. So I decided to host my own workshop. And then in the January, a couple of months later, I thought I'd do another one. And I said, look, guys, I've been really interested in this practical manifesting. Do you want me to do a manifesting workshop? And nobody really knew what I was talking about, because this was pre-pandemic. It wasn't like becoming a trend or anything, because although manifest has been around for ages, it comes in waves, and people didn't really know what I was talking about. So I thought, okay, how do I explain manifesting at this workshop? And so I got my notes on my phone, and in about 5 minutes, I came up with the 7 steps, and 100 people came to that workshop, and then the pandemic hit and everything shut down. So Wade actually said to me, oh, you should do them online. And I was like, should I? And he was like, yeah. So I was like, okay. So I tried this other website. So before I knew what Zoom was, God, imagine, we didn't even know what Zoom was. So before I knew what Zoom was, I tried a different website to try and do it. And it stopped working. And I had to do it audio only. But then I moved to Zoom, and I kept them audio only, actually. But I did, I think, 20 online webinars throughout the pandemic. Every month I did them. They were different. They were manifesting, but also body and mind, self-love, one about stress. And I just kept doing these workshops, and they were just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And what started as, 100 people in January 2020 was 700 people online in the February of 2021. And I'd also just signed the book deal then, and then I wrote it that summer. So yeah, I mean, it happened very fast, but I was definitely building a community through these webinars. They were getting bigger and bigger. Everybody who came would recommend them to their friends. I've never done any external advertising on anywhere except for my Instagram. So it was just a very organic growth.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
And how do you handle overwhelm then? Because as you said, it's built and it's got bigger and bigger, and you've begun to travel now. The events have got bigger. There's been a second book. There's, TV interviews, all of that. And as you say, you have a great reason to get out of bed in the morning to be doing something that you love and truly believe in. But how do you handle the overwhelm of how big it's got?
It's definitely been difficult. I would say, the thing is, while this is all the shiny stuff, the hard work started the moment, 2.5 years ago. And I really, in the whole of the pandemic, I didn't take a day off. Like, I threw myself into this. So I think it feels like these 6 months have been really busy, but actually I would say in some ways they've been much easier than the build up to it. Like, this is almost the fun part, but actually I was really throwing everything into building this community, to reaching out constantly to publications, to people, writing for them, doing one-to-one clients, you know, going, doing my podcast, doing this. So it was like, it was always been constant that in some ways now I have more flexibility. You know, they say there's the donkey years. I feel like those are a bit like my donkey years. And now I'm more able to say no to so much more stuff and be more selective with what I do. But yeah, I mean, we don't stop. I have a, you know, a small team. We do everything ourselves, and it's a lot. But I think everybody's busy. I try not to complain too much. I try to find pockets of time to rest where I can, and I'm actually taking July off because I don't think I've not really stopped this year. So I'm taking July off and I'm like, get me to the finish line. And I'm going to just rest and spend time with my son. You know, he said to me the other day, I don't really get mum guilt, but he said to me the other day, he said, Mummy, are you going to work again? And I was like, oh my God, my heart. So I just want to be with him.
Yeah. And it, as you say, that's a really important part of self-love, is setting up those boundaries and prioritizing yourself and making sure that everything in the wheel of life as such is thriving, you know, not just the work side of things, but sounds like you've got that down.
Yeah.
And is there a danger in the message of manifesting or personal development in some ways that it's like saying to people that they're getting something wrong or they're not doing life right? Is there a fine line between people? I mean, it sounds really wrong. I didn't even like that I said, is there something wrong with personal development? Because how could there be? But I suppose in the manifesting and living your best life type motto, that it feels like right now we don't celebrate just getting by or being mediocre or average. And it kind of puts people into a striving mentality.
I think it depends who's giving the message. So I think like you can see some people that talk about things that are very focused on money and things and abundance. And of course, I understand that can rightly be very intimidating. And you know, it's not the message. But for me, and I think I try to reiterate this, manifesting is about becoming the very best version of yourself. And there is only benefit from that. And it's not about, and I do say this in the book, you know, you don't have to want something just because somebody else does. You can just want simplicity, and that is enough. And I think it's about embracing like our most authentic selves, what actually brings us joy. You know, do we, it's not everybody wants a, you know, high pressure job just before the salary. Actually, you know, they just want to get by with their job enough to get them by, but actually so that they can clock off at 5 and be with their family and be present and be mindful and go to the gym or watch a series. And that is commendable. Nothing is more impressive than someone else. It's just what you want for yourself.
Yeah. And I, as you say, it depends on where you're at in life. So if people are really content where they're at, then that's great, you stay there. But there are people who aren't, who are riddled with self-doubt or who even just feel a bit stuck. I think stuck is something where people don't have clarity as to what they want out of life. What's your advice to somebody that might be feeling that way?
I think really focus on instead of what you want, but like how you want to feel. That's the best starting place. Like, how do you want to feel within yourself? How do you want to feel when you wake up in the morning? How do you want to feel within your relationships? How do you want to feel it at your work, you know? And really understanding, you know, one way we can do that is when we're feeling stuck is I always like to ask people to look back at a time where you felt most at peace and then consider what was around you, who were you with, what was going on in your life at the time. And you can use that as like a clue. And I think it's a really nice way to do it is go, oh, yeah, and how can I cultivate more of that into my life?
What about victim mode then? Because I think that's a really important point. Sometimes we can get so stuck in what hasn't happened and what hasn't worked and whose fault it was. And quite often I've done it myself, point outwardly at, you know, it's the industry, it's the economy, it's the whatever, you know, the people in our lives that weren't serving us correctly. And it's all of those things that haven't happened. And that's quite paralyzing, really. And that leads to being stuck.
100%. I mean, you have to first and foremost understand that no one is responsible for your happiness except you. And I think for me, when I read that book, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway, that was the message, was that I had absolutely been in victim mode. And I had to take responsibility for my life. And we all do. We all, look, things are going to happen that are unfair, unfortunate, but we have the responsibility to choose how we respond to it. We have to take responsibility for the change that we want to create. You know, I think a lot of us wait for this earth-shattering moment to shake things up, to, you know, make things feel better. We wait for the job change or the promotion or the new house or the relationship, when actually the change just starts with how we treat ourselves, the things we do day to day, our daily habits. And it all starts and ends with us, really.
How important is taking time then to tune in and really find out what's going on for you? And does that have to be sitting still, do you think, or meditating?
I think it's about being mindful, and mindfulness can be done eating, exercising, walking, reading, but taking time to be present without distraction is key. You know, we need time for our minds to process the day, to process how we feel, to create space for creativity, problem solving, understanding and awareness. And to do that, we have to be alone sometimes. And that means not scrolling, watching Netflix, you know, scrolling on your phone whilst watching Netflix. It means sitting on the sofa and maybe just listening to some music or just going for a walk, you know, and just being on your own, just being with yourself and just taking time, having a candlelit bath, you know, and it can be meditating, that can be part of it, but just making time to just stop and slow down, you know, just catch yourself as we rush through life and just try to take a moment to take it all in.
What about the vision board then? That's something that, a tool that's often used, and it's hard to know how to do that right. What's your advice around a vision board?
So a vision board is just like a visual representation of how you want your life to look like. And mine are really basic. I don't use pictures or anything just because I don't like that style, but you can use pictures and as well. But you really just want to write down everything you want to manifest, but in as much clarity as possible, in as much detail as possible. So, you know, the exact salary you want to be on, or exactly how you want to feel in yourself, or some of the places you want to have gone or traveled to or whatever. So being really, really specific, and you want to write down as much as you can and dream as big as possible. You know, you don't want to be restricted by your limiting beliefs at this point. You know, dare to dream, literally, with your vision board. And then you put it away. And the reason I suggest putting it away is for a number of reasons. Firstly, I think that, you know, a vision board and really putting down what you want from your life in a year's time is a very vulnerable thing. It's, you know, you should be very vulnerable with yourself in that process. What do I actually want? And I think that if you were to have it out where someone might see it, you're never going to allow yourself to be quite as honest about what it is that you want from your life. The second reason is because manifesting is about knowing what you want and then letting it go. It's about surrendering to it. You know, yep, I know what you want. It's like you put the destination into your maps and then you let the navigation system lead you there. You're not trying to control it. All you're doing is, you know, driving, concentrating on what you're doing at the time, you know, immersing yourself in the moment, but knowing that it's going to lead you to the right place. And that's exactly the same as manifesting. And I think putting your vision board away is it's like a metaphorical kind of surrendering.
And the psychology around it is really interesting. When you decide on something, like people might have said they fancy a certain car and then all you can see is that car. Or if you're trying to get pregnant, all you can see is babies and prams and parents. And I've heard it described, you start to put it primary. So you start to see areas where you could perhaps make this a reality. So yeah. I heard someone describe it was a life coach, and he was talking about when you're in the airport, there's so many flights being called, but somehow you hear yours because that's the one that's important to you right now. So when you've done that, all of a sudden you start to see the opportunities that maybe you were a little bit more blind to or closed off to before.
Exactly. And this is really how neuroscience comes to play in manifesting. When you do something like a vision board, but also by visual rehearsal or doing a visualization meditation where you keep replaying your future scenarios in your mind, you start to prime your subconscious to create that reality. And so it starts filtering out unwanted information and seeking out opportunities that will lead you to that visualized reality. So it's really clever, really.
What sort of feedback have you had from people? I know you get messages all the time of how your advice, your books, your workshops have impacted on their lives.
Yeah. Honestly, I regularly burst into tears reading my messages, and that is not an exaggeration. You know, I think the most, the things people manifest are incredible, you know, like, whatever. They're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Like the exact promotion I wanted happened. Or, you know, a lot of people trying for a family, you know, or the houses. There is endless things that people come to me and say, oh my gosh, I manifested this thing. But I think the ones that really touch me are the people who have said that, you know, one woman messaged me recently and she said, my husband has suffered from like severe anxiety ever since the pandemic. Life's been really, really, really difficult for us. And your book is the first thing that has helped him to see the light and want to get out of bed in the morning, and how much it's changed not only him, but their relationship and their lives together. And she went into much more detail than that, but I was just, you know, sobbing. And then I even had a lady yesterday in a question box who said, I didn't want to be here, and I read your book, and now my children still have their mummy. And yeah, I mean, it's a real honor to be able to impact even one person, let alone so many. And I just know I know firsthand what it's like to feel that life is not worth living, and to know that I can help them realize that it is just the greatest gift of all time.
Yeah, and that there are steps that can be taken. And I think for every one person that scoffs at talk like this, manifesting and you know, all that kind of thing, there are countless more who are looking for a way and looking for advice, because life can be tough. Life can be overwhelming. Things can happen. And I think your popularity is just testament to that. I was on one of your workshops, and the chat box is just flying through the whole thing.
My community is amazing, and they're so helpful with each other. Like, it's incredible, isn't it? So you've seen, like, they're so engaged and, like, they're amazing.
Yeah, and really supportive, you're right, of each other. Someone would have a question, somebody else would come back. And
Yeah.
So for every one person that's not into it, there are plenty who are. You are coming to Dublin to do your biggest workshop yet.
I'm so excited.
In Dublin on the 3rd of September. So what can people expect from the experience? I mean, it's 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. So we're going to be doing the work.
Yep. So it's going to be, I mean, these workshops are like honestly magical. There's an energy and an experience that you just can't. People leave hyped, excited, inspired. There's so much crying. People have make friends with people they just met. It's just amazing. So we're going to go through the 7 steps and some more on self-love. We'll be doing exercises, questions. There's a sound bath at the end. We'll have a break for some book signing, pictures, getting to know each other. It's just going to be a great, great day. And I know that people are going to leave absolutely ready to make a lasting transformation. You know, I think September's a great time because after summer, you know, a lot of people have got out of healthy habits. They've just been enjoying themselves, rightly so. But September's that back to school. We want to kind of fire ourselves up again, reset, ready for the second half of the year and all the kind of new energy that comes with that. So, yeah, please do sign up to join us, all the details are on my website, www.roxynafusi.com.
And have you managed to fully extinguish self-doubt? Do you panic on the side of a stage now before a workshop or in the lead up to it?
I haven't. Look, there are definitely still things that I get. You know, I went to a wedding this weekend and there was lots of people I used to know, and I honestly feel like I regressed to being 20 years old. I was so self-conscious. I felt so insecure. I was like, what is happening? I immediately, on the day of my return, called Karina Tala. And I was like, I need a healing session. We need to do some inner child work. But it didn't get me down like it would have before. I was able to just observe it and be like, wow, what's happening? Going on stage, no, you know, I think I definitely feel like I just love it so much. But there are times where I go on stage, especially if it's a corporate and the audience are very quiet. Your mind is kind of half speaking and half going, what are they thinking? And you have to really check out of that and just go, just keep going. And so you get, but yeah, I mean, the doubt on stage is less. I think I'm definitely was born to do it. So I love it.
No, it's tough, isn't it? I've done a small amount of it, and it's because unless you're a stand-up comedian, and for them it must be hard as well, because there's only, you know, a certain, there's talking and then there's a gag and there's a laugh.
Yeah.
But people aren't smiling back. They're concentrating. So exactly. They look like they're hating it. Not hating it, but it's exactly. Very, you're right. Your head goes, oh my God, this isn't happening. It isn't working. And you have to check out and know that they really are. And no doubt they will be at your event, hanging on your every word. And your events are always so beautiful. Your stage setting, I mean, I just think your aesthetic is worth a mention. The style of your products, your book, your interiors, like it's a whole vibe. And I am 100% here for it, Roxy.
Oh, I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. You know, I've been putting so much work. I'm very, very like strong in my vision. And there's a lot, you know, I am a perfectionist. I want it to be perfect for you guys, the products and everything. So I really appreciate when it's noticed. So thank you.
Absolutely beautiful. And before you go, you've also teamed up with an Irish superstar, Denise Kenny Byrne.
My angel.
With the head plan. That, I mean, and that is just a real indication of there's room for everybody. There's no need to be comparing yourself to others and be in competition. You can actually come together and lift each other up. I know you've collaborated on some products, and she even put you forward for an Ireland AM interview that she was being booked for. This is the vibe we're going for.
She is, you know, she is amazing. And we both have the same vision. We both want to help people. And I think that you're always better together. We have different strengths and we work together so well. Our products are absolutely both of our babies. And I fully support, like I love, you know, if people come to me and they say, I finished the journal, I'm like, get the other head plan products. Like they're amazing. You know, and she would, and like, she does the same for me. And so we love to, you know, collaborating with each other, you know, generally is just so important that we don't need competition. There is enough for everyone. For example, for me, as many speakers as there are millions of people wanting to learn and listen. And look, not everybody is going to like my message and the way I communicate, and that's okay. They'll like another speaker much more and they'll really resonate with them, and they should absolutely go to them. You know, we're not here to be everything for everyone. We just do our best, be ourselves, and the right people will find you.
Well, again, that event is on in the Helix in Dublin on the 3rd of September. The book is called Manifest. You will find out about it and all of Roxy's work at roxynafusi.com. Roxy, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Changemakers. If you enjoyed the podcast, I would love if you would take a moment to rate, review and subscribe. It helps other people to find the podcast too. Take care.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.